The fact that some ulama have reached this appalling state and consider these spiritual blessings to be impossible or doubtful is not because they have any personal experience in this regard. In fact, they are not even inclined to go through such an experience and have never allowed themselves any opportunity to form an opinion based on a comprehensive analysis, nor do they wish to do so. Their suspicions are based not on any of their own investigation, but only on the objections my prejudiced opponents have leveled against my two prophecies. The Promised Messiah has a footnote here. These are the objections. In my announcement of 8th of April 1886, I published the prophecy that a boy would be born to me, but I also wrote in unambiguous terms that the boy may either be born from the current pregnancy or a future one. However, in order to expose the inherent evil and injustice of my opponents, God gave me a girl from the first pregnancy and a boy from the next, and the essence of my prophecy was thus fulfilled. But the opponents, in keeping with their eternal practice, adopted a mischievous attitude and argued why a boy had not been born from the first pregnancy. I told them that no such stipulation was mentioned in the prophecy. Rather, it had been stated that the boy may be born from the next pregnancy, and this prophecy was unequivocally fulfilled. Such criticism is, in fact, a kind of deception which no right-minded person will accept. The second objection made by my opponents was that the boy whose birth had been prophesied in the announcement of 8th of April 1886 died in infancy. I have already answered this objection in detail, and the bottom line is that I never wrote in any of my announcement that the deceased boy would be blessed with a long life and would become the promised reformer. On the contrary, the announcement of 20th of February 1886 contains the prophecy that some of my boys will die in infancy. Consider, therefore, whether the demise of this child has fulfilled this prophecy or not. In fact, most of the revelations that I published pointed to his demise. The announcement of 20th of February 1886, for instance, contained the words, "A beautiful and pure boy comes as your guest," which clearly shows that the boy would die young, because a guest is one who comes only to leave after a few days, and not one who comes to stay permanently and bids farewell to others. The same announcement also contains the words, "He is completely free from ridges," which is sin, and these also testify to his early demise. No one should be misled into thinking that this part of the prophecy is about the promised reformer, for divine revelation has made it amply clear that it relates to the deceased child. The prophecy about the promised reformer begins with the words, "He has with him the grace of God, and it will be manifested with his coming." The promised reformer has been named Fadl and Mahmud and Bashir the second, and also Fadl-e-Umar. The coming of the promised reformer had to be deferred until this Bashir was born and was taken back from us, because all future events had been placed under his feet. Bashir the first, who has passed away, was in fact a forerunner for Bashir the second, and this is why they were both mentioned together in the same prophecy. Let fair-minded people judge whether I have made any serious error in interpreting these prophecies. It is true that I spoke of some excellent inherent qualities of the deceased child on the basis of revelations, and I still do, but it is unanimously substantiated by all religions that children do possess diverse qualities regardless of whether they die in infancy or live to an advanced age. No sage or scholar can deny this, and there is no room for any reasonable person to be misled on this account. As for the ignorant, they have always been misled, as for instance, when the children of Israel, on account of Moses' prophecies. He had said that a great punishment would come upon the Pharaoh, but they saw no such thing happening, and it seemed that they were being punished instead, for they were now being forced to toil for the whole day, while previously they had worked half the time. What manner of liberation was this, they asked? The fact was that the hard labor was only meant as trial for them, and it was the Pharaoh who was destined to be defeated, But those ignorant and hasty people, seeing that their unrealistic expectations were not quick to materialize, began criticizing Moses alayhi salam, and harboring doubts about him. They said, "Moses and Aaron, would that God treat you as you have treated us?" The ignorance and haste shown by Judas Iscariot also deserves attention, for he too misunderstood the Messiah's prophecies. He had been led to think that Jesus would become king and would bestow high offices upon his disciples. But when this did not happen, and none of the prophecies were fulfilled, and the disciples instead faced poverty and deprivation, he decided that it would be better to fill his belly by siding with Jesus' enemies. This proved to be the means of his downfall, for the Messiah's prophecies were ultimately fulfilled. Has any prophet ever been defeated by the attacks of foolish and naive people? If not, why should we fear that this will happen now? And why should we bring God's holy mission to a halt? Let it be remembered, once and for all, that all those who call themselves Muslims and profess the kalima, which is the oneness of God, but are quick to harbor doubts and suspicions in their hearts, will be dishonored and disgraced, just like the ignorant Jews and like Judas Iscariot. Reflect, O men of wisdom. We now return to the main text.